Specials is sponsored today by Mary Alice Largent with Landmark Realty in downtown Palestine, serving Anderson and surrounding counties.
And good morning. Hi, I'm Dr. Roy Morgan. Welcome to Health Essentials. I got ahead of myself, didn't I? You know, you still have time. I know it's 27 or 28 degrees outside, but you still have time to go outside and see the full moon. It is about as big and gorgeous as you're going to see it. It's going to be on the western horizon, and it is spectacular. If you go the other direction, you're going to see, the pink peach color glow of the sunrise coming up. That's pretty awesome. I'm going to try the phone lines real quick. Good morning. Welcome to the program. They hung up before I got to it. I tried. All right, I've got some information I want to share with you. You know, a lot of times when I'm, I guess I kind of beat to my own drum, you could say. We already know that I'm probably biased when it comes to things that are, you know, produce generous radiant health. Yeah, I like those things. I do not care for remedies that tend to destroy the body and the mind. I don't like things that are toxic. Because God designed you to live. Why would you want to be sick every day of your life? Let me share this with you. I came across this study. It was actually a 15-year-long study. So I tend to pay close attention when I read studies that are that long. This consisted of 74,645 men and women in Sweden. So that's like a pretty good number of people. And what they revealed was that the consumption of red meat was associated with a shorter survival rate. And what I mean is, you know, living versus dying. So people that ate red meat, they lived on average 2 years less compared to adults who were not red meat eaters. Are you with me so far? When they actually took the raw data and they broke it down, especially as it related to the red meat, the only association with eating red meat that was associated with a reduced survival was only when processed red meat was consumed. Processed red meat. So, do you know what that means? That comes from, just in case you want to look it up, that comes from the American Journal of Clinical Nutrition, July 16th, 2014. Well, what is processed red meat? Is that a steak from the grocery store? Is that processed? What about ground beef? Is that processed? If you have a neighbor, and your neighbor, probably a cattlewoman or a cattlewoman rancher girl, is raising grass-fed beef, is that processed? If she takes it to the meat processor, does that make it processed? No. What they're referring to is when they add these chemical preservatives. So we're going to talk about that just briefly because I want to give you a solution to it. Or actually, you know what the solution is. Don't eat it if you can, but sometimes you might not be able to keep from it. In 1993, researchers in Germany reported that the risk for brain cancer rose 11 times among those who consumed processed meats. And what I'm referring to is meats that are preserved with nitrates. Okay? That comes from the International Journal of Cancer, February 20, 1993. Just because that was written, you know, 23 years ago, doesn't make it not so. It's still true. But you realize when you go in the grocery store and you purchase lunch meat, or like a guy told me the other day, I think he just turned 77 years old, but he mentioned to me that he loves Spam. Yeah, when someone tells you they love to eat Spam all the time, I don't know that you can necessarily break through their mindset and turn them on a dime and say, do you know that Spam is bad? Well, they may not believe that. I think it's good to try, though. I think any opportunity that you have to try to bless and help someone, you should take it. Even if you're going to have rejection, even if they're going to shoot you down and tell you that you're nuts, you should still tell the truth. You're not responsible for what a person does with the truth anyway, right? How many times was Jesus rejected? Probably just a whole bunch, right? Listen to this right here. 1994. It was reported that the risk for childhood leukemia was strongly associated among kids who ate hot dogs. So kids that don't eat hot dogs that have nitrates in them or nitrosamines, sometimes it's called sodium nitrite and sodium nitrate. You'll see that on the label when you buy hot dogs or bologna or Spam. Yeah, it's a chemical preservative. Well, you know what the association is? They have 9.5 times greater childhood leukemia as compared to kids that don't eat hot dogs. That's 950%. That's a huge number, if you ask me. That comes from Cancer, Causes, and Control, March 5th, 1994. So any foods that are shown to contain these volatile nitrosamines, they're going to include cured meats, primarily cooked bacon. In some cases, they add these things to beer. You're going to find them in processed cheese in some cases, not always. Non-fat dry milk. See, there's another reason right there, not to have anything to do with non-fat dry milk. And sometimes when they pickle fish or cure fish, it'll be that way. Now, to the rescue, to me this is interesting. Some companies that process these foods, they have figured out that if they add vitamin C to the equation, that it's going to limit the formation of these very undesirable volatile nitrosamines. That comes from Cancer Research, May 1983. How long ago was 1983? Well, a long time ago. I'm just saying that because that's when I graduated from high school, is 1983. Yeah, you don't know that. Okay, I'm amusing myself. Enough of that. Okay, experiments that were performed or conducted in the 1970s and 80s, they conclusively showed that vitamin C spontaneously reduces nitrate formation. That comes from the International Journal of Vitamin and Nutrition Research, 1984. So, if you're in a situation, whether it's a church fellowship dinner, or you're going to go to a birthday party, or you're going to go out to eat occasionally, this might be a pretty good case, folks, for vitamin C playing a very powerful role in helping to improve your ability to combat these toxins or these preservatives found in cured meat. Now, this right here kind of, I'm not going to say it shocked me, but just listen to this right here. No, I was looking at this right here. Okay, this comes from IARC Science Publications, 1987. A blood sample study conducted in China revealed that the geographical area where cancer mortality was the highest. You know what that means? Cancer death. So, they did a blood study in China. I guess that means they asked for volunteers, or maybe they didn't volunteer, but they got the blood sample anyway. They showed the highest mortality of cancer was correlated with the highest levels of nitrates in the blood, and they also happen to have the lowest intake of vitamin C. Well, what do you think I'm going to do with information like that? Do you think that's easy to believe? Do you buy into that? Can you believe that? I do. So they showed the highest cancer mortality, which incidentally, I can't remember the name of the province, but yes, there is a province, which is probably the equivalent of a state here in the U.S., where they absolutely have the highest cancer death rates anywhere in the world. That's not really a badge of honor, folks. That's not something that you would jump up and down and say, great, we got the Guinness Book of World Records for the most cancer. No. So here it is right here. Where cancer mortality was the greatest, they had the highest level of nitrates. So I'm just going back to what I said earlier. If you're eating cured meats, lunch meats, or bacon, things like that, that have sodium nitrates and sodium nitrites in them, and they also happen to have the lowest dietary intake of vitamin C, which I just read to you, that's what science has proven, that vitamin C neutralizes those volatile nitrosamines. Okay? You know what the other option is? Take vitamin C every day to protect you. What's wrong with that? You know, it doesn't disturb me at all if a physician says he thinks that taking a vitamin C tablet a day causes cancer. That doesn't change my belief system. I can't find any proof of that at all. And just because a person says something doesn't make it so, but if I had a nickel for every time I heard a doctor say, that's the reason why you develop cancer is because you take, that's just a bunch of baloney. It's the baloney that causes cancer because it's cured. So an option you have would be consuming meats that are not cured. That might be called fresh grass-fed ground beef or a fresh grass-fed beef roast. Maybe you, today you're going to go out in the woods and shoot a turkey. Actually, is it turkey season? I really don't think it is. So maybe not. Anyway, I thought that was interesting. So there is my sales pitch for you today. So what if you went to the store and you said, you know what? I wonder if I could find uncured bacon. Well, you can. And so if you're going to eat bacon, maybe you should have the uncured variety. Or if you're going to have sausage, look for the type that's uncured. Or if you're going to have it occasionally, at the very least, why don't you start taking some vitamin C? So, there you have it. Now, the number here at the station is 903-586-5257. If you want to call and ask me a question, there is a phone line officially open. I'll push the button as soon as you call, and I'll get you right in. And I'll do my very best to try to answer whatever questions you have. So 903-586-5257. And let's try and see if the phone works today. Good morning. Welcome to the program.
Good morning, Dr. Morgan.
Oh, thanks for your phone call.
I was wondering about turkey bacon. Does it have sodium nitrate in it?
All you have to do is look at the label. Usually it's going to be the very last ingredient.
Okay.
So if you go from bacon to water to sugar to whatever else, salt, usually it'll say sodium nitrate or sodium nitrite. And
okay.
the simple solution is just buying the one that's uncured. Now, it may be a little bit of a hassle because you need to keep it frozen to keep it fresh, but that's not that big of a deal, is it?
Right.
Okay. That's all you're looking for.
Thank you very much.
You're welcome. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Thank you for your question, ma'am. Okay, if you want to call me, I've got a phone line open, 903-586-5257. Maybe you have symptoms of some type. Aren't symptoms the way that God has designed your body to communicate something's not working right? Well, yes, it is. It's good that you heed and pay attention to your body. Now, not everybody's in tune with their system, but it's good if you are. Good morning. Welcome to the program.
Good morning, Dr. Morgan.
Hi, how are you today?
I'm doing fine. About a month ago, I came down with a little virus or something, and I guessed it was a flu because I didn't take a flu shot, and I didn't,
Mm-hmm. Are you still there?
I'm here, but I can hear the radio. It sounds like another program playing while...
I can't. I have no idea where that's coming from, so I'm sorry about that.
Okay.
So, can I ask you a question though? How loud is the other program? Is it just as loud as my voice?
Almost.
Well, see, I can't hear anything, but you can hear it, right?
Yes.
Yeah,
but I think I can handle that.
Okay. Well, I'm just real sorry about that. I can't hear anything.
All right.
So.
Let me just. I just kind of, started with a cough, and I started
Is it off now?
Very, very tired. So I started taking colloidal silver, and but anyway, long story short, that week that was before Christmas or the week of Christmas when it was really warm, I started, and it was 70 degrees and 74 degrees, so I wore a mock turtleneck cotton shirt with a wool and acrylic blend vest every day when it was 74 degrees. But that felt good. And anyway, I took the elderberry zinc lozenges, and eventually, I got over it. My fever, I only got 99.2, but I got over that. And later, my joints. And my wrist started hurting. My right wrist never has hurt me like that before. And I just wondered, can a virus like that, well, first of all, can you get a virus, or has it been unheard of, that if you don't take a flu shot, but if you are around somebody that has had a flu shot, is that flu virus is it incubating in their body? And so is there something there that I would be vulnerable to a little bit, you know, or I mean, I could catch from them because they've had the vaccine?
They had four college students. Two had had influenza at the time. They had active confirmed cases, and two did not. And they just tied their hands up. They could touch the table and the cards and play poker, but they weren't allowed to touch their nose or their eyes. It was impossible for them to get the flu. Couldn't do it. It's only when you stick your finger in your nose or your ears or your eyes or your mouth. That's the only way that you can get the flu.
Oh,
that's how you inoculate yourself. So I know it sounds like a good plan to go to church tomorrow and greet every sick person with a holy kiss, but maybe we shouldn't do that if somebody's sick.
Right.
You know as well as I do, if you go to church and somebody's got the flu, they don't think anything of hugging and kissing you and telling you after the fact that, oh, I've got the flu.
Yeah.
That didn't even stop them. I would say this. One of the most potent natural antibiotics is produced by your immune system is called cathelicidin, and it is generated basically based on the vitamin D levels. So always think that if you have a challenge with your immune system, there might be a day or two that you really want to take quite a bit of extra vitamin D3 just to enable your immune system to rise to the occasion to overcome. And sometimes I'll do that if a person says, I've got something I just can't shake. I can't get over it. I can't really recover.
Mm-hmm.
For a short season, I might recommend multiple tens of thousands of units of vitamin D3 just for a short season, just enough to bolster a more robust immune response. But yeah, the influenza is just real famous. It can attack almost anywhere, and you could feel so achy and sore that you just can't. You feel like you have severe arthritis. You don't want to get out of bed and go for a walk or anything.
Well, this is afterwards. After I was over it, I didn't feel that achy. I just had a cough. I'm barely making out what you're saying because that.
Yeah, and I can barely hear it also. Let me go ahead and just cut you off. Sorry about that, but I can't hear half the things you're saying because of the phone line.
My other question is, you know, if I could get it afterwards, get something after, had that.
That's what I was going to try to answer.
Okay.
But thank you very much, ma'am. I really appreciate your patience and sorry for the technical difficulties.
Okay, I'll just hang up and they'll listen to what you say about
thanks
the virus can move. Thank you.
Yes, ma'am. Thanks. I think probably one of the simpler ways to look at this is, number one, you have a viral infection that comes into your body. It weakens the tissues, and that's what you're setting yourself up for. If you don't resolve the viral infection very promptly and quickly, it weakens the tissues enough to make it easy for a bacterial infection to come on board and take over. So quite often it's virus first that weakens the tissues. And if it's not resolved promptly and efficiently, what you have is you have a bacterial infection that kind of moves in and kind of takes over. So going back to what I said earlier, yeah, I mean, that's possible, but most likely it's gone from virus first. Now it's no longer a viral infection, most likely a bacterial infection. And that's why you're getting maybe the other symptoms after the fact. But then again, what I told you earlier, one of the most potent natural antibiotics that your body makes, in which, have you ever heard the term cathelicidin, or have you ever heard that word before? I think I'm saying it right, but cathelicidin is one of the most potent natural substances that your body uses to make sure that you're free of infection. Okay. Vitamin D regulates that. You know, you could say on a day like today, because I can look out the window of the control booth right now and I can tell you it looks gorgeous. We are blessed with a beautiful, beautiful day. It's fabulous. Can't wait to go outside. Well, I was outside a little bit, but it was dark while I go, so. But isn't vitamin D3 called the sunshine vitamin? Well, I mean, technically, you know what I'm not trying to say that, you know, it is a sunshine. But with the invisible ultraviolet radiation that comes from the sun, when the ultraviolet radiation comes in contact with your skin, that stimulates cells to make a form of vitamin D. Of course, that comes from cholesterol, but from there, It goes to the kidneys. Probably 95% of all vitamin D3 production within your body is transformed within the kidneys. There may be a reason why we need to keep our kidneys in good working order. No one ever outlasts their kidneys. So, just as a point for conversation, do you know what the two most common symptoms are of a vitamin D deficiency? It's going to be fatigue that just never corrects itself. It's going to be pain somewhere in the body that just doesn't go away. Usually it's in the back and the legs. It's just the way it is. Okay. All right. I do not know, but I know I'm going to write myself a note, and I will call and talk to John, Paul, and Randy on Monday, and I'll see if we can't figure out why every time I take a phone call, I get like a recorded program, because I don't hear that. Now, I can hear it through the phone when I have the person on the, I can hear myself in the background, but I don't hear anything right now, so I'm just going to make an assumption that because I'm listening to the program as it's being taped right now, and since I can't hear two of me talking, you know, a program from a different day that's been pre-recorded, I just don't know. Anyway, so there's got to be a glitch somewhere. And surely that's an easy fix for the person that's technically, you know, adept. Now, I've got some information that I want to share with you. And I realize you may never have heard of this before, but I think I'm just like you are. I love information. If it can be used to bless and help others, hey, I like the idea of this for myself. Actually, I'm being selfish. All this information's for me today. Have you ever heard of a natural occurring substance called phytate? Well, anyway, let me tell you a little bit about this right here. There is a substance found in nature. It is called inositol hexaphosphate. And usually what they'll do is they'll call it IP6 for short. So, yes, I can say the term inositol hexaphosphate over and over again. But if I can I just refer to it from here on out as IP6? And I might, because, you may want to write this information down. I don't know. Some people actually take notes from the program. And I've got my little scratch sheet of paper here that I'll scribble, you know, information down as I'm doing this. But this substance called IP6 is just naturally found. And so, for example, it's naturally occurring in beans. Depending on the type of bean, you could have anywhere between 0.2 to 6.7%. Excuse me, 0.6 to 2.4% of all beans is this substance called IP6. Walnuts, pretty impressive. Depending on the quality of the walnut, it might have anywhere between 0.2 to 6.7% of its total weight or composition would be IP6. It's also found in sesame seeds, wheat bran, rice bran. Now, you know, Japanese are pretty clever people. Well, they have a process when they process rice bran extract. Boy, they can get a good concentration of IP6. Anyway, IP6 is not actually considered a essential vitamin or mineral or nutritional element because I don't know if they know a lot about it yet. It's been around since the beginning of time. Anyway, but to me, what really, really intrigues me about this stuff is that in nature, we have herbs and we have vitamins and we have minerals. There's amino acids, there's fatty acids, and I'm not even scratching the surface. You know how many nutritional qualities of individual molecules are probably found in spinach? My word, there's probably 10 to 12 to 20,000 very unique molecules that are found in real food that have some benefit. We just don't know what they are. So anytime that someone discovers a benefit, I'm thinking, oh boy, the heavens declare the glory of God, don't they? And the firmament, which I guess that's where herbs and natural things come from. Well, we enter the topic for this moment in time called IP6. What if this is one of those overlooked nutritional factors that hasn't been talked about very much, even though I'm talking about it right now? And the reason why is because I want you to know this information. Well, they have found that it's a very protective factor against stiffening within the body and calcification. You may not be aware of this, so I'll just say it simply, and this is an oversimplification, but the body does a great job of calcifying anything that stays chronically inflamed. If you have inflammation within your arteries, your body is going to calcify it. And thus enter one of the most accurate tests of all time, the calcium scoring test. And so if you go to a heart doctor or an internist and they say, let's check the health of your arteries. Well, how are we going to do that, doctor? Well, we're going to do a calcium scoring test. It's a CAT scan. And you know what? It is. It's got to be hands down one of the most accurate ways of all time of trying to determine the health of a person's arteries. And so if your calcium scoring test comes back zero, oh my word, that means you've got healthy arteries, buddy. Or ma'am. What if that number comes back above 1,000? Not so good. Not good at all. Well, anyway, they've discovered that this IP6 is very, very interesting. Now, the more stiffness and calcification that a person has built up in their aorta, which, if you don't know what the aorta is, can I just suggest to you that's the first large blood vessel outside of the heart? Not the coronary vessels, that's what feeds and nourishes the heart, but the aorta. Now, that is what carries blood to all the organs in the body. If you want to get blood to your toes, might be good to have an aorta that's in good working order. But what they've noticed is, I like simple information like this. If you go to a dentist, don't dentists always measure the blood pressure before they do a procedure? Of course they do. Well, when they measure your blood pressure, your systolic blood pressure, that's going to be when the heart is contracting and pumping. So that's the higher number. And so if you asked me, you said, Dr. Morgan, what would be a healthy blood pressure? Would 120 over 80 be a good number? I'd say, yes, excellent. I wouldn't even be worried if it was 130 over 82. That doesn't disturb me at all. But what if your blood pressure is 188 over 114? That may not be a very good number. So as the aorta becomes more stiff, that's when it's always associated with a higher systolic or pumping blood pressure. So as that number goes from 120, your upper number, and it keeps going upward, you know, that might be a clue, folks, that the aorta is just becoming stiffer and stiffer and stiffer. What would you think about your brain if it became locked up and stiff? Well, okay, that's not a good analogy. Never mind. Scratch that. Anyway. Now, this, to me, is very, very interesting information. I'm looking at a chart right here. And here's what they did. They were trying to determine if IP6 has any type of correlation to health conditions. And so they took individuals that were 70 years of age, or just right there close to 70. Of course, what they said is, they said the article is titled Health Effects of Dietary IP6 Among Senior Adults. And the way they did this was they could determine what the intake of IP6 was. How much of this are you getting from your food if you're eating beans or wheat bran or wheat germ? And did I say wheat bran? That's what I meant to say. Rice. Eating walnuts, things like that. But they were trying to figure out, is there any correlation to consumption of IP6, which is just a nutritional, you know, factor that's found in food. And remember, no scientist designed IP6. It's just naturally occurring in food, so it's God's design. It's just found in nature, okay? I did not say that everything in nature was good for you. I mean, for example, there was an article that I read this morning that stated specifically that people that smoke marijuana every day, that they're usually not the most productive people on the planet, so I'll just leave it at that. So, yes, marijuana is natural, but is smoking it a good idea? Probably not. Are there other components of marijuana that might be healthy? Oh, yeah, but we're not here to talk about those. Anyway. So what they did is they rated it low, medium, and high, okay? So if they could capture this substance, IP6, from the 70-year-old person's urine, they rated the IP6 as low, meaning they probably didn't get very much from their diet. They kind of, they labeled it intermediate, which is probably like middle of the road, obviously, and high, which means they took those that were 70 and they tried to measure, do they have, who has the highest amount and who has the lowest amount? That's all I'm trying to say. I'm probably going overboard with my explanation. Sorry about that. But then again, this is information. I hope it's good for you. And so what they did was they correlated the amount of IP6 in the urine with calcification of the aorta. Now remember, you're only going to be as healthy as your arteries. And if your arteries are hardened with calcium, that's because you're inflamed and your body can't repair it. You got to remember, the definition of inflammation is there is a repair deficit. So what do we do to help the body repair? Throwing a temper tantrum doesn't repair the body. Taking action that's good, that helps repair the body. But throwing a temper tantrum saying you cannot live another day without your 40 cups of coffee a day doesn't do anything, except maybe lead to more inflammation. So when they looked at calcification of the arteries, they noticed when individuals, 70-year-old people, you know, adults, when they had a low intake of IP6, they noticed that calcification of the aorta occurred 34.9% of the time, as compared to those that had a higher intake at that point in time. That was 28.6% calcification of the aorta. Okay? Now, that may not really, you know, sound too impressive, but I want you to listen to this next one right here. All this is comparative. So, 70-year-old people that had low intake of inositol hexaphosphate, which comes from rice bran, usually in the supplement form, what they did is they looked at the occurrence of adult diabetes. Now there's something that really caught my attention. So 70-year-olds that had adult diabetes, I'm sorry, I'm saying it wrong. So when they looked at the intake of IP6 in 70-year-olds, those that had low intake of IP6, you know, from urine excretion, that was 36%. 36.5% of them had diabetes. What would you guess the number is? Those that had a higher intake of IP6 from their diet, they only had 17.5% diabetes. So let's say it a different way. They take 100 individuals that are age 70, and they look at the level of IP6, and those that had low amounts, well, 36.5 of them had diabetes. Those that had the higher amounts, 17.5 people had diabetes out of 100. This next one's interesting also. All they did was look at high cholesterol. I know it's going to shock you that I would talk about cholesterol, but those that had the lowest intake of IP6, 55.6 individuals out of 100 had high cholesterol when IP6 was low, as compared to those that had better amounts of it, 36.5%. I'm telling you, that's interesting. Of course, I'm going to just contend simply. When your body is healthier, your cholesterol is naturally lower. All right? Cholesterol serves a purpose. What about bone loss? Very, very interesting. They noticed that 15.9% of people with low intake had bone loss, as compared to those that had better levels of IP6 in their diet, 9.5%. Okay, that might have been too much right there. And IP6 phytate are also known as inositol hexaphosphate. And what I'm saying is this is actually a nutritional supplement. It just may be that you've never heard of it. It was first identified by Dr. Stephen Seeley back in 1991 as a natural agent that helps retain elasticity of the arteries. Oh, I like that. Particularly the aorta, which happens to be the largest artery in the body, which is prone to calcification. This comes from the International Journal of Cardiology, 1991. It says beans, peanuts, peas, lentils, corn, oats, I love oats, rice, I actually like rice, walnuts, they provide significant amounts of IP6 or IP6 phytate. 2 to 3% of the driveway. But rice bran is the most abundant dietary source of IP6. So for adults who wish to eradicate calcifications in tissues throughout the body, the consumption of IP6 rice bran extract is suggested, as it is about 70% inositol hexaphosphate. Remember, your body will calcify anything that's inflamed. You want to have pain, inflammation in your muscles? Well, just let's assume they're calcified. What if IP6 were to help you? Now, I'm going on to page 2 right here. Now, this to me is, this is really what caught my attention right here. I'm not trying to call IP6 a miracle nutrient or molecule, but it's interesting, very interesting. Now, they could not figure out how to unlock this puzzle of how double-sided DNA breaks are repaired. So, we live in a toxic world. Your DNA, which is your genetic code, sometimes it becomes damaged to the point that it breaks and it ruptures. Well, guess what? They figured it out in the year 2000, when it was demonstrated that IP6 facilitates double-strand DNA break repair. That comes from the journal Cell, September of the year 2000. Maybe I should interpret that differently. If your body is breaking down at a faster rate than it's repairing, then I might, you know, make an assumption fairly that you got some DNA breakage and it's not being repaired. Anyway, I just thought that was just too cool that IP6 facilitates double-strand DNA break repair. Ha ha! I love it. Do you know what natural killer cells are? Natural killer cells are some of the most vital cells within your immune system. You know, I think the current estimate is every single day of your life, you're going to have about 40 cells. And this is only an estimate. If I'm wrong, it doesn't make any difference. I mean, if it does, it'd be a minimal difference. But you're going to have 40 cells every day that go into they stop obeying the commands of the body to go ahead and die when they're at the end of their natural lifetime. So what happens? They turn into cancer cells. So let's just suffice it to say that every day you're going to have 40 cells that turn cancerous. What happens if you have plenty of natural killer cells doing their job? They are going to search out and seek out that you actually have these aberrant cancer cells, and they're going to kill them so you don't develop cancer. Does that topic appeal to anyone this morning? It does to me. They've shown that IP6 elevates the activity of a type of white blood cell. Voila, it's called the natural killer cell. I like that. That comes from World Journal Gastroenterology, August 2005. Which means all you have to do is when you go to your gastroenterologist on Monday, I guess you could go talk to your gastroenterologist on Sunday morning. It just might be during church service, though, right? So just ask him. Say, hey, doctor, what does IP6 do, and is it good for my body? Well, gastroenterologist wrote about this in August 2005. Now, I realize that drugs usually have one mode of action, but when it comes to natural substances that God himself has designed and made for us, which are too wonderful for me to understand, they have multiple modes of action, not just one thing. Now, it shows, I'm telling you, I can't make this stuff up if I wanted to. This comes from anti-cancer research in the year 1999. You know what it says? They have discovered that IP6 inhibits kidney stone formation. Let me think. Would I be a happy person right now if I were passing a kidney stone? No! I don't think I've seen quite such horrific pain in people as when you're passing a kidney stone. I would not wish a kidney stone on anybody that I know and love. Look it up for yourself. Anti-cancer research, 1999. Inositol hexaphosphate has been shown to inhibit kidney stone formation. That's about as simple as I can make it. Wait, that's not enough. I don't subscribe to this journal because probably it's too expensive. But there's a journal called Blood. I probably should have subscribed to it. The name just sounds, I mean, what does it say in Leviticus? The life is in the blood. It shows here that IP6 inhibits blood clots. Have you heard of a human being having blood that's a little bit too thick and dirty and sticky and clumpy and forming clots? Well, IP6 inhibits blood clots. That comes from blood. August 22nd, 2013, in case you want to know. Now, I haven't pursued this one right here because I want to read it for myself, and I haven't read the article, but it comes from Science Magazine, 1997. They're saying that IP6 is necessary for the release of insulin from the pancreas. Well, has anybody ever heard of hypoglycemia or diabetes? Well, this might prove to be a very important substance for people that have blood sugar issues. I cannot pronounce the name of the journal from Poland. Can I say Merkur Lekarowski, Poland? I'm sorry. I know for a fact I butchered that. I can say Warsaw, Poland. That's about it. It comes from the year 2012. Again, a different mode of action of IP6. It says that it inhibits tumor growth. Folks, I don't know how else to say this, but just to kind of break the truth to you, and of course I want to say everything in love. Sometimes I probably don't. But we are not winning the war on cancer, folks. We're not. I wish that we were. I wish I could tell you with great confidence that cancer rates are dropping by the occurrence of cancer, the development of cancer is dropping by 3% a year. And you'd probably call me and say, 3%? That's like ridiculous. That means, what about the other 97% of people that develop cancer, or the cancer cases that develop into cancer? That's not good. Well, you're right. But, you know, I can't even say that. And I can't even tell you over the radio this morning that cancer is staying about the same. I wish I could. But, you know, over the last 30 years, I'm going back 4 years on this study, they've been following the development of cancer. And I realize there's more people in America now, but cancer is growing by 3% a year, the number of cases. You can interpret that however you want. But we are not winning the war on cancer. So when I read that IP6 inhibits tumor growth, yeah, that comes from a journal in Poland. And I don't speak Polish, so I have to look for the American or the English translation. Hey, I'm on board with that. Has anybody died from an IP6? No, it comes from rice bran. Really? People routinely die from rice bran overdose? No. Maybe I should go to Mother Francis and ETMC here in Jacksonville and just go talk to the emergency room doctors and try to determine how many cases they've seen of rice bran overdose leading to acute toxicity. No, never. Now, I would venture a guess. If I ask them how many people come because of over-the-counter drugs, we're going to find a number of people show up because of, you know, toxic consequences. And people show up to the ER because they have very bad allergic reactions to, say, antibiotics. Okay? That would be true. And they think they're going to die. So, IP6 inhibits tumor growth. That comes from a journal in Poland. Sorry, I can't pronounce the name of it. Now, I know, I'm going overboard here. But since the phone lines aren't really working, this is about the only option that I have. So, I hope you like this information. Now, get this right here. All right. Are you sitting down? This comes from the Journal of Alzheimer's Disease 2011. Now, unless you're living on the back 40 somewhere and you haven't heard of the radio or talked to people in, you know, 45 years, there is a condition called Alzheimer's. And it's growing every year. And I'm telling you, it's very, very scary what's going to happen as our aging population develops Alzheimer's. I mean, it can be very, very scary. So if you've had a parent that's had Alzheimer's and you find it very challenging and difficult to, you know, do basic things without forgetting, then I would be a little bit concerned. But listen to this right here. Let me give you a little information here. One of the hallmarks of Alzheimer's disease, and when I say Alzheimer's, I'm talking about you lose your capacity to function mentally the way that you used to. You become very forgetful. A lot of the normal tasks you used to do, like bathing, they can actually become lost. Food preparation, driving to the grocery store and never finding the grocery store. That's one of the reasons why when you hear on the radio they've lost an elderly person and they walked off from the house on April the 5th and they didn't find them 10 days later, but they were 200 yards away in the woods but they had Alzheimer's. They just couldn't logically find their way back home. That would be one aspect. But they're showing in this article that there's always going to be beta amyloid plaque deposition or a buildup of this plaque in the brain. And that would be part and parcel or a hallmark of Alzheimer's disease. IP6 phytate provides complete protection against brain toxicity induced by beta amyloid deposits in the brain. Folks, if anybody else, I haven't heard any hospitals talking about this substance right here. I haven't heard any physicians when they're interviewed on the radio talking about this, especially if they're Alzheimer's experts. I haven't heard that. Very, very interesting. Let me read that again. This is just the short and sweet of it. IP6 provides complete. Do you know what the word complete means? It doesn't mean partial. It doesn't mean sort of. It doesn't mean a little bit. It says complete protection against brain toxicity induced by beta amyloid deposits in the brain. Look it up for yourself. Journal Alzheimer's Disease 2011. Sorry, I don't have a date for you. I couldn't find it. Sometimes it just takes a little while to dig. I mean, aren't you in the same boat sometimes? You look up information. I spent an hour yesterday. You know, I don't know if it was the most productive hour of my life, but I couldn't find the information, the number I was looking for. Yes, I finally found it, but it took me an hour to get it. Anyway, I think that, if I found it, maybe it wasn't a wasted hour, but I sure felt like I could have done something a little bit more productive. So let me ask you a question. What if you have a family history of Alzheimer's? You have a parent, you have an aunt, you have an uncle, another relative, you have a sibling, a father, a mother. You know what, folks? You got to get with it. Waiting until you develop Alzheimer's is too late. I'm not saying we shouldn't try intervention, but when you have a significant amount of damage to your brain, that's not really the best time to start protocols to reverse and heal the brain. I say we do a preemptive strike. And that's one of the reasons why all I can do is compliment those people that want to take care of themselves. You know what my interpretation is? Somebody walks in the door and they have a sack full of supplements. I love it. Doesn't mean the supplements are the best choices. It doesn't mean the supplements are doing much of anything. They probably are. But it means the person really wants to help themselves. They want to improve themselves. I love it. Okay. This comes from Applied Biochemistry and Biotechnology 1997. That's another journal I don't order because it's too expensive. Some of these journals, folks, you don't know this, but some of them are over $1,000 a year just to get 4 issues. I will pass on that. That could be a business expense. Not going to do it, though. But they're showing that the inositol hexaphosphate that comes from rice bran, it binds to heavy metals, including copper. And this is one of the reasons why IP6 phytate is considered a therapeutic agent in the control or the improvement of diabetes. That comes from Drugs 2011. Now, here's another one right here. This comes from Anti-Cancer Research 1999. Another one. I think the other article I found was that IP6 inhibits kidney stone formation. I like that action. So there must be something about this that's very good at helping the body to stay in great working order. But IP6 protects against a fatty liver. Anybody have a fatty liver? I see them all the time. Now, let's just say that there's a person that you know that has a fatty liver, and they're relying on information from their medical doctor on how to resolve that. Now, why does this have to be difficult? It's very simple. Probably the number one reason why a person would have a fatty liver would be excess alcohol, which the truth is, doesn't alcohol act more like sugar than probably anything else? Yeah. Alcohol doesn't really act like protein when it's digested, metabolized, and broken down. It doesn't really act like fat. It's almost like sugar. I didn't say alcohol is sugar, but you know what I've learned, and I really mean this in a loving way, but when someone has gone from a lifestyle of just tremendous alcoholism, and they become very, very convicted that they just don't want to have anything to do with alcohol anymore for lots of reasons. Well, usually the first thing they turn to once they come off alcohol is they turn to sugar. Kind of gives them their fix. And sometimes they start packing on the weight. But wouldn't you say that if a person's not drinking alcohol, probably the most common reason why there'd be a fatty liver is just more sugar than what the body can handle? I know that life is not fair. You might have 20 people that you know that eat cake for breakfast, pie for lunch, and ice cream for supper, and Cokes in between, and yet they don't have a fatty liver. Well, lo and behold, there are some people that have won the genetic lottery, but that doesn't change your situation. And if you have a fatty liver, if you want to call it NASH, non-alcoholic steatohepatitis, well, okay. That's what the gastroenterologist or the liver expert's going to call it. That's fine by me. I like the term. But it's because of sugar. You're consuming more than what your body can handle. It's almost like you're asking your body, here, let me eat this sugar. Excuse me. Let me eat this refined sugar. And my body has no choice because of the poor performance of the liver. It's going to deposit in the form of fat. If you want to choke the liver to death, building up fat's a way of doing that. Do you think that people that have fatty livers or have tremendous health? They usually don't. And of course, I don't mean that as a put down. It's just the way it is. So what's one of the ways that you reverse a fatty liver? Well, number one, you got to do some damage control, folks. If you don't stop the intake of refined carbohydrates and refined sugars and just pure, white foods, that could be called white flour, white sugar, pasta, noodles. The last time I checked, avocados are not the root cause of fatty liver. Oh, wait a second. That would actually reverse it, wouldn't it, Roy? Okay, yeah, there's my brilliant, there's a brilliant idea for you. Avocados might actually be good for the liver. I had a guy come see me yesterday, and he and I both agreed. Oh, man, he was, talk about a great guy. Fabulous. Smiled nonstop. He almost laughed at everything I said that was funny. Sometimes I try to be funny. I don't know if I am. But we both decided that we just never tire of eating avocados. He said, what can I have for breakfast? I said, well, instead of donuts, why don't we go, do you like eggs? He said, yeah. But he told me he really loved peppers. I said, okay, what if you sauteed peppers and onions and scrambled them with eggs and cheese, and then you ate a half an avocado? Would you eat that? He said, yes, I love that. Of course, he told me he wants to eat peppers with almost every meal. But he did tell me, though, that when he's learned that if he combines coffee with really hot serrano peppers, that equals diarrhea. So he avoids those. Anyway. So when I read that IP6 protects against fatty liver, that gets my attention. Because in this age that we're living in, I'm telling you folks, it's getting to be pretty desperate. Either we start providing solutions to improve the health of our workers and our grandmothers and grandfathers and our parents and our brothers and sisters, because we can't just keep paying these outrageous health care prices forever. By the way, if your liver's healthy, what need do you have to go to a physician for expensive treatments that largely don't work? I mean, you could take some choline, cut out sugar and IP6, and there's more to it than that. But that would only be about 1,000, 10,000% faster and better at reversing a fatty liver. And you know what? God designed the body to heal itself. Either you foundationally believe that or fundamentally believe that, or you don't. If you don't believe that, what are you doing listening to a program like this? Because that's all I'm going to talk about. God has designed the body to repair itself if you create the right circumstances. I was on the phone with my son Christopher, and I said, I want you to look up this article right here. And it was just a university study. I can't quote it exactly, but they were comparing what is more important at being successful in life. And it's a secular article. I understand that. But it was saying what's more important, having a tremendously high IQ and just super-duper great intelligence, or is it an attitude? Well, folks, I know you know. I can't hear what you're saying, but I know what you're saying. You're saying it's attitude, Dr. Morgan. Well, you're right. Attitude is infinitely more important, because what happens if you have a failure or you get knocked down? Well, your attitude, you can dust yourself back off and you can say, you know what? Mate, this didn't work out so well. I actually hate to admit this to you, but I had to tell my wife yesterday, Ruth Ann, you know what? I was wrong about that. I made a mistake. I've learned my lesson. Actually, you don't want to know what it's about, do you? Anyway, involved trees and spending money to take down trees, but I was wrong. She was right. Anyway, so I said, okay, I can learn a lesson. I went a little bit overboard, and what I did was I probably spent a little bit more money than what I should without getting really great results. Anyway, I learned my lesson. I was wrong, and she was right. Now, she did say, you are going to learn to listen to your wife, aren't you? And I said, of course, sweetheart. I almost feel like I need to tell the whole story, but no, it's best that I do not in the last minute or so. But God has designed the body to repair itself. You either believe that or you don't. If you don't believe that, then I guess you're just at the mercy of whatever you're told to do from the pharmacy. Okay, I realize you could tell me all my doctor told me to do for the fatty liver was just take this drug. Is that really true? Is it? You know, there's several types of people, but one type of person, they're just going to go along with the crowd, which is the vast majority. They'll never ask any questions. They don't want to rock the boat. They won't ask any questions of their physicians at all. They'll just do whatever they say. But is that true? Well, if I had a fatty liver, I think I'd want to take that pretty seriously if it were me. You think that maybe the liver might be one of the most sophisticated, intricate filters in the body? Oh, yeah, but it stores your vitamins. You really, if you want to be radiant and real productive in the kingdom, you might want to have a good working liver. So, to me, that's very interesting that the IP6 that comes from Rice Brand is very protective against a fatty liver. Anyway, I don't know if that's good information for you or what. I will put in a call to Randy and John Paul this week, and I'll see if I can't come to some reason why the recorded program is bleeding through. There's got to be a simple solution. I just don't know what that is. Hopefully that will, it'll work out. Sorry about that. Yes, I really would have enjoyed just the whole program taking phone calls, because to me that's more important, listening to what you have to say and serving others. So, Lord willing, this will be resolved and fixed next week, where I can start taking more phone calls again, and I'll do everything I can to help you. I've enjoyed it. You're listening to KBJS FM 90.3, Jacksonville, Tyler Longview.
Of Healthy Essentials with Dr. Roy Morgan.
What if there were a tool that presented God's truth every day, no app required?
What if your love of music was combined with praise and no download fees?
What if there